This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the shattering voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you? How was your new year?
Not too shabby. Thank you. Just spent it in the company of some friends with some good food, some good drink, some good conversation. Standard. Loved it.
Sounds good. I didn't get an invite for that. Is there any particular reason or just was it full? Busy?
Just a bit too busy, yes. It's one of those where you know how you don't like to collide certain friendship groups. I'm not sure whether you'd fit in with my actual friends, you know.
Well, brutal. Brutal start to the show. Anyway, yeah, shattering. I don't know my own strength, Matthew. That's basically the point of this particular segment.
So go on, what's happened? I mean, this could be appropriate for New Year. I'm presuming this might have been on New Year's Eve.
No, it wasn't. It was actually just a very relaxed glass of wine at the end of the day yesterday. Obviously busy time now, transfer window's open, has been a little bit hectic. So at the end of the day, do you know what I thought? I'm just going to have just a glass of wine just to take the edge off the day and just switch off for 10 minutes. So poured the glass of wine, no issue there. Had a couple of sips and I'm holding the glass and I don't think I've put any additional pressure on the glass. And it's shattered. Not just shattered. We're talking like a million pieces around me. Red wine all over me because I was kind of lying back at this point. So I got red wine in my face. I got it all over. White T-shirt as well. White T-shirt is now dead, and that is very much in the bin. And glass everywhere, which took me then. So that kind of, you know, the few minutes at the end of the day where I was finally got to that point, I was like, really good day. We've got loads done. Just going to switch off for 15, 20 minutes. I ended up spending about 45 minutes trying to find little bits of glass in the sofa.
Absolutely brilliant. I think that's made my day, made my year. And we're only on what, the 3rd of January?
I mean, it's not very nice, is it? I mean, I thought there might have been a bit of sympathy. You know how busy it is at the moment as well. We're obviously doing a hell of a lot at the moment. So, you know, just those 15 minutes apiece at the end of the day. And I wasn't even given that, thanks to what I found out was a very, very thin wine glass.
What was the reaction? Were you calm? Were you collected? Or were you classic Richard Lee angry? The type of Richard Lee that not many people see, to be fair.
I was Red Rich. Yeah, I lost my head a little bit. Just annoyed. But it's one of the, you know, one of those moments where you're like, I'm not annoyed. I can't be annoyed with anybody in particular. Like, this is my own doing. I must have just held it a little bit too tight or something. But just something that's never happened to me before. Just did not know my own strength.
So how can we bring this back to goalkeeping then?
Oh, I don't know. Is this one of them where then, you know, you have a tough moment, which I did, and then it's about the recovery. The problem was my recovery wasn't good. You know, there's me sort of talking to a lot of the lads we work with and, you know, it's all about the reaction. You're going to make mistakes, but how do you react? Show me how you react. Can you then still go on and play a good game, make good saves? I was the goalkeeper that made a mistake and went and made three more and just completely lost my head and got subbed in the 60th minute.
Which is not the type of goalkeeper that anyone wants to be. And we didn't see too much of that over the festive period. We did say that we might have done a pod in between that time, but it just became too difficult. You were busy, I was busy. There were far too many games to be able to react as quickly as we'd like to react. So what we're planning to do on this pod is not obviously go through all the games from, you know, before Boxing Day, and thereafter. We're mainly going to focus on the games that have recently occurred over the weekend and just touch on some of the highlights and lowlights for some goalkeepers over that festive period.
Sounds good to me.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
Commentary corner.
So rather tragically, we are going to kick the new year off with a commentary corner. So firstly, before we get on to the horror show that was Nottingham Forest 2, Manchester United 1 in terms of commentary and punditry, I'd like to ask you, Richard, what's a jumpy goalkeeper?
What is a jumpy goalkeeper? I don't know. That's not an expression you hear too often. But go on. How do you consider a jumpy goalkeeper to be?
Well, Clive Tildesley considers a jumpy goalkeeper to be Jordan Pickford, because in the game between Everton and Manchester City, he did say, this was quite early on, there are calm and collected goalkeepers and there are jumpy goalkeepers. Jordan Pickford is a jumpy goalkeeper?
Of course. That's, yeah, of course, well-known phrase. And you've got the two things, and you're somewhere on that spectrum. You know, are you more of a calm type or a jumpy type? I probably would have been more on the jumpy side of things in hindsight.
Oh, mate, without a doubt. Yeah, and just another word to add to a growing glossary of terms, and a number of terms that were reinforced and plucked from that glossary occurred in the game between Forest and United, as we mentioned just a moment ago. The commentators and pundits and co-commentators in question were Gary Neville and Rob Hawthorne, Michael Dawson and Jamie Redknapp. The goalkeeper in question was Matt Turner. Now, all it took for Turner was to overhit a couple of passes early on, and the tone was very much set from there on in throughout. Like I said, just relentless. Gary Neville, the first thing that he said was, I love it how the keepers, when they sort of look like nervous wrecks, how they tell everyone else to calm down, still intent on chipping it over people's heads. It's unbelievable. And from that moment, the pair of them were just chuckling together, Neville and Hawthorne. Hawthorne went on to explain how Turner was an accident waiting to happen. And what I really take umbrage with this type of commentary is the fact that the commentator just desperately wants to be the co-commentator's best mate. It never used to be that way back in the day. It was very much the commentator going there, doing his job, and the co-commentator doing his job. They weren't in the pub after games having pints together. They probably weren't texting or writing letters, as it may have been in those days, to each other. They just went there to do the job, and that was it. Now it feels like the commentator just cannot wait to ride off the coattails of some sort of scandalous remark that the co-commentator makes, just to let him know, I'm in this with you, mate. I think exactly the same as you. It's a bit like when you were at school, I don't know, and the guy who perhaps didn't play sport wanted to be best mates with the captain of the football team. It just feels a bit like that, and it was relentless for Turner and hugely, hugely unjust.
Yep, that's essentially what happened because, yeah, look, first and foremost, really, really disrespectful in so many ways. And you don't really hear them talk about outfield players in this way. It almost is a, you know, we can say this because it's a different species and it is what it is. But you actually look at the moments individually, and it was, as you say, it gained momentum with the commentators in that, yeah, a couple of misplaced passes. And do you know what? They weren't that bad. It was, he didn't have some obvious options. The one he's tried to chip over someone's head, the other he's tried to play it to the right winger effectively. And he's misplaced it by, what, a yard or so, just gone over his head and got out of play. The bit then Gary Neville was enjoying was picking up on Matt Turner's reaction, which, again, as goalkeepers, especially when you feel like you played a half-decent pass, and the second one in particular, the one that did go over the winger's head, I do feel like the winger could have done a little bit more, a little bit of a quicker movement. They probably get ahead to it, and it goes down as a very good pass. So the moments weren't that bad. He then had a tough one second half, pass back that he's miscued, and then, of course, the goal. And it was almost building up to that. So for the three or four moments that had happened before, which each one you can look at, yeah, might have been a little bit cleaner with the distribution. Again, with Matt Turner, what I would say, and we spoke about this before, you know, when it comes to aerially or shot stopping or what have you, he's elite. You know, he's top. And certainly with certain teams, the likes of Newcastle we spoke about before, they have adapted their style of play. When you've got someone like Nick Pope, who's got very similar strengths, where Nick Pope, you know, has been fantastic because it's a style of football that does suit him. You can sense that with this, the manager's still wanting to play a certain style, even though perhaps, you know, Matt Turner's adequate with his feet, but he certainly, I'm sure he'd admit this himself, it isn't something that he's in the elite category in the same way that so many goalkeepers aren't, because again, it's just the way we've been brought up. That being said, I thought on the whole, there was a lot of good stuff in terms of playing out. There were then a couple of moments, and of course, when it leads to the goal, that then just allowed the commentators to go wild on him. And it almost then took away from the fact he made some crucial saves thereafter, a couple of brilliant saves, to be fair, and even the save that then leads to the goal, that sort of gets forgotten because the narrative just continues. It's almost like, oh, well, that's a good save, but he did this, as opposed to, yeah, taking each moment in isolation and actually analysing each moment. But it was that. It was like two bullies in a playground ganging up, and there was no one to fight back. And it was, yeah, it was frustrating to listen to.
I genuinely don't really enjoy doing Commentary Corner on the podcast anymore. As I watched that game, I almost sighed as if to think, oh, we're going to have to include this in the podcast. When we started it, it was funny. We wanted to make a point. I feel like we've made that point. We've said this over and over again. And now it's just a bit frustrating to have to keep talking about this. And I'm just going to give you some of the words. So this was after the goal was scored after the equaliser from Marcus Rashford, where Alejandro Garnacho brilliantly intercepted the pass from Matt Turner, which, by the way, was referenced by Gary Neville and Jamie Redknapp afterwards. They praised Garnacho. So maybe perhaps we should be looking at that. Yes, it was an error from Matt Turner, or Matt Taylor, according to Gary Neville, for a moment in that game, because he was the most relieved man in the stadium, was Matt Taylor. But the words they used, so Neville, no sympathy, absolutely ridiculous, useless with his feet. He's proved it time and time again. It's a scandal, that goalkeeper. What the hell are you doing? Rob Hawthorne, when talking about Dominguez, who'd just been taken off, the guy who put Forrest ahead, he must be fuming at Matt Taylor for giving the ball away. The goalkeeper, for now, is off the hook when Forrest retook the lead. This type of language is damaging, it's malicious, and like you say, it's like two bullies in the playground. And we've said many times before, why would a kid watching that want to be a goalkeeper if they think, wow, that is the type of abuse that I'm going to receive? I know that this is this start of the year and we should be more lighthearted here, but yeah, just felt quite passionate about this one.
Yeah, well, you missed one word as well, but I'm sure I heard the word horrific at one point.
Oh, yes,
as well.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
No, it was everything you've said there. And I think, again, it's the lack of education when it comes to goalkeeping. It's the there's nobody there to actually come back and make some valid points. You know, if I was to look at his game on the whole, yeah, your point out, I'm sure if you're doing the assessment in the morning, the goalkeeper coach no doubt will go through it with him. Of course, there's some few bits you can tidy up on in terms of distribution. You're being asked to play a certain way, and credit to him, he's going to the manager's letter. You know, he's doing exactly what the manager wants him to do. There'll be times maybe where it's not something he's done previously when he was maybe in the MLS or what have you, but he is following the script. And then in key moments, he's made some key contributions. So, you know, certainly that needs to be praised. And then you would work on the training ground at the other bits that need to be worked on, or shift the style of play so that, you know, in those moments where it might be that little bit more uncomfortable, then perhaps you change your strategy. That also being said, the actual goal itself, as you say, has to be credit to Garnacho, because they paused it, and this really wound me up, but they paused it and they're like, well, is this pass really on? I don't think this pass is on. And you look at that moment, and of course it is. There's a huge gap between the two strikers. If he finds the pass into the sitting midfielder, who's able to then turn, you broke the lines, you're then in a Man United's defence. And it only just mishit the pass. It wasn't like it was a bobbler or anything like that. He just didn't quite get the connection. Had he got the connection, it would have been the right pass, the right move at the right moment, the right move at that moment in order to get Forrest back on the attack. So the decision was fine. The execution was just off. And as you say, Garnacho has done unbelievably well to slide in and keep control of the ball. You know, the actual skill level in order to do that, and then to find the pass, brilliant finish. It was then the worst of all worlds for Matt Taylor, or yeah, Matt Turner. Yeah, I don't know. It was just frustrating, like I say, to listen to. And we keep going back to the same point. There has to be, they do the whole referee thing. You know, they've got all sorts of refs now that they go to for decisions and whatever. There's just as many big moments in goalkeeping. I can't understand. And I'm sure that even outfield fans or regular fans would still find it interesting to get more of an insight. And I just cannot understand why they haven't, whether it's Sky Sports News, whether it's the games themselves, Monday Night Football, whatever it might be, make it a regular slot or have someone that you go to regularly and be like, look, what do you think? Because every time they've done that, they've had someone goalkeeping related on there, it's always shut everybody up, because at that point, they can't all gang up. They've got someone who is educated in the position that can actually say, no, this is what's happened. And let's look at these individually. Yep, that wasn't so good. That was good. It wasn't good for this reason. It was good for this reason. And actually get some decent analysis, as opposed to two guys in the pub just ganging up on a goalkeeper.
Yeah, and he does openly say, Gary Neville, every time he does his commentary, I think he said it in this game too, you know, I am critical of goalkeepers, I know I am, but there just seems to be that element of vitriol, doesn't there? It's like, and it is afforded to outfielders as well. It just comes down to perception. There are certain goalkeepers, or goalkeepers in general, that some pundits and commentators just don't like. And with outfielders, let's think of Harry Maguire is probably a good example. Raheem Sterling for a period a few years back, that if you already have your opinion made up of that player, regardless of how they play and perform, Harry Maguire, I think this season, has actually been one of Manchester United's better players after coming back from being out of the side. But all it takes is one misplaced pass. All it takes is one error and then, see, he's rubbish, he's useless, he's this, he's that, not taking into account everything else that he's done before that. And there was a moment as well where Murillo, the Forest centre-back, passed the ball. This was shortly after United had equalised, straight to a Manchester United player. Nothing said at all. Nothing. Completely ignored. But one technical point I'd just like to ask you about, Richard. Was it a back pass? So where Matt Turner has ballooned the ball up in the air and then collected it with his hands, should that by the letter of the law then be deemed a back pass?
I believe so. I mean, because in theory, it's the same as ball being passed back, take a touch and pick it up. So yeah, when I saw that, I was surprised, I guess, with everything that was going on, whether the referee just hasn't considered it in that moment. But I'm sure that has to be the rule because yeah, it's like... it kind of reminded me of like rugby where you're bursting through and you kick it up in the air and run onto your own ball. It was a little bit like that, but no, the ball was played back to him. He's chipped it up in the air and he's gone and caught it. So for me, I think it should be, yeah.
Okay, and just to finish in the Premier League, that was really the main talking point, but 250 appearances up for Alisson for Liverpool in the win over Newcastle. Martin Dubravka, I'd like to mention him, 11 saves in a 4-2 defeat. One of those, a smasher of a pen from Mo Salah.
Yeah, very good. Very, very good. I mean, Newcastle are going through a really tough spell at the moment. And yeah, this could have been a hell of a lot more if it wasn't for Dubravka. A couple of really sharp saves. As you mentioned, the penalty save. He's read Salah brilliantly, read the run-up, kind of guessed that he would smash it. Didn't move all that much, but the reactions to then make the save were excellent. Lots of parries in this game as well. And in fairness to him, with each parry, not always into the perfect areas, you would argue. But what he does really well is when he decides to parry, he gets a lot of distance on his parry. So it always ordinarily means that it's going to the edge of the box or outside the box. So it's still going to make it tough for the opposition team to build another chance. But no, certainly I thought from an individual point of view. Oh, and also the save on the line. Got to mention that as well. I thought that was really good because they're really tough when they're down by the legs and you know, having to move very quickly. Really good save that. Sharp save he made down low to his right. No, look, very, very good individual performance. It will be interesting to see what Newcastle do because, you know, the wheels really have fallen off in the last few weeks. Obviously, all the injuries they've got. Is that now a position they prioritise going into January? I guess we'll find out in the coming days.
It is the EFL overview where I said we will be just glossing over some of the action from the festive period. And quick mentions for number threes, Jacob Chapman and Christopher Klassen of Huddersfield and Leeds, respectively. The latter of Norway being the third goalkeeper utilised by Leeds in as many games. Ian Melier suspended and Carl Darlow injured. So in Klassen came for his full league debut in the 3-0 win over Birmingham. The former of Australia stepping in for the injured Lee Nichols and Chris Maxwell and saving yet another penalty on his full league debut for the Terriers. So incredibly, that is now a 100% record from the two pens he's faced in normal time in his senior career. He saved one while on loan at Gateshead, but he also has a 50% record on penalty shootouts, saving four from the eight he faced while on loan at Salford last term. Brad Collins, we should mention, with a series of fine saves in Coventry's defeat of Middlesbrough. Ben Hamer with two top stops in Watford's thriller minute draw at Plymouth. However, my personal selection of, we're going to trademark this, championship goalkeeper over the festive period is Victor Johansson. It was 1-1, drew 2 and lost 1 in that 4-game festive cluster. Big performances from him in the win over Middlesbrough and the draw with Blackburn. And it just feels as though he pulls off a worldie in every game at the moment. Rotherham remain bottom, yes. They're still 7 points adrift. They've conceded the most goals, but it could have been a whole lot worse had it not been for Johansson. 108 saves, the most by any goalkeeper in the Championship.
Yeah, where do we start? I think I'll start with Brad Collins. You mentioned a couple of very, very good saves. Certainly the two, top hand to his left-hand side. Big, big saves. I think the second one in particular, full stretch. Really powerful to get up there, get fingertips to it. Yeah, massive well done to Jacob Chapman. Really felt for him in the penalty save is fantastic. Again, just read the situation. Similar to what we're talking about with Dubravka, where he's read the situation, but it's still fired in to get a hand and get it over the bar. You know, I know there's... I know that any penalty save certainly will always go down as a good save for reading the situation, but of course there are some that are that little bit more special, and this was certainly in that category. I felt for him in the very next play. Of course the corner comes in, they score, which was disappointing for him, where you always want a save like that to be compounded with the team going on from there. Yeah, big well done to Klassen as well, because he obviously hadn't had a a look in at all, but huge one-on-one save. Thought he read the situation perfectly, closed the space, and at the point of impact, made himself really, really big. Excellent save, this. I actually watched the Watford versus Plymouth game. What a mental game this was. Crazy game. And I felt for both goalkeepers in the fact that you probably couldn't see it on the highlights, but honestly, the conditions were horrific. They're really, really bad. And Ben's made four or five brilliant saves in this game. Obviously, the couple that you highlighted in particular, top hand and tip over the bar. Loads of other saves in this one. I felt from a bit on the second goal where we talk a lot about the conditions and how they can play a part. And I couldn't help but feel it was one that was struck on the angle. It's come at him really quickly. And had it been that bit drier, I've no doubt it hits his gloves and goes over the bar or goes wide. But of course, when it is as sodden as it was, it's wasn't able to get enough purchase on it. But certainly the positives in this game far outweighed that particular moment, because I thought he was brilliant again, and has been, to be honest, since he stepped in. And Johansson, as you mentioned, there was one save in particular, just a beautiful save, where it's struck to his right. He's having to go back on himself a bit, and the athleticism to get his right hand, get a big enough hand to get it over the bar, and that most goalkeepers, most humans, can't get themselves into this particular position without breaking a bone or two. But the way in which he was able to do that, get the fingertips over the bar. And as you mentioned, he certainly kept up his good form despite Rotherham's troubles.
In League One, there are two to mention here. So two EFL debuts, one goalkeeper turning 20 during the festive period, the other just 21. So that 21-year-old being Peterborough's Finn Talley. Two games undefeated for Posh. And just looking at his career, he's had quite an eventful career thus far as Talley. So he played in the Europa Conference League on loan at Cliftonville last season. He's been involved in two penalty shootouts this season in the EFL Cup and the FA Cup. Won both of those, the second of those coming in that mad 4-4 draw with Salford a few weeks back. He's now off the mark in the league with Nicholas Bailo-Kapic out, which on a separate note will have huge implications on the clean sheet club. And the 20-year-old being Carlisle's Gabriel Breeze. So he picked up his first and Carlisle's first win in 10 on New Year's Day, 2 days after his birthday. Two late goals beat Port Vale and helped the Cumbrians climb off the bottom of League One. I just thought that these were tasty scenarios for young lads with very little experience to come into. One team pushing for promotion, the other battling relegation.
Yeah, well, look, I feel like I'm saying well done a lot on this show so far. But again, massive well done to both. Certainly Gabe Breeze is an interesting one, because I know for several years now, Carlisle have been speaking about him and how much they rate him. It's just a really tough situation you find with young goalkeepers coming through, maybe at League One level, because what tends to happen, and where I do think the Premier League younger goalkeepers get a bit of an advantage, is that where they'll have so many goalkeepers in the building, they can normally get their loan moves, and often that might be to League One, League Two, National League, whereas where you are at a League One club, certainly one that's maybe struggling like Carlisle are, then you're not necessarily able to go on loan because you're needed in the building. But then often you've got that catch 22 where how are you going to get that chance? Because you haven't got the games under your belt in order to get that chance. Whereas obviously, I know we spoke about Thomas Holy a little bit in recent weeks, and I think it's fair to say he's had a bit of a tough time. They've decided to throw Breeze in, and yeah, credit to him, fantastic. And I think everything that Carlisle have been saying over the last few years, can't help but feel he is going to have a big career. You just hope from his point of view, whether that's now an extended run in the team with them now, or if they do bring in a goalkeeper in January, that he is able to go and get those games somewhere, because you just see it too often that goalkeepers at those clubs, some top goalkeepers, and they can get to 21, 22, 23, and it is that catch 22. They've never been able to go out and get the experience they needed. But certainly with a talent like that, you just hope at some point it opens up for him.
We should just mention James Beadle here too, on loan in League One at Oxford United, but had his deal, a new deal with Brighton extended. So a new contract signed until the summer of 2028, very much in Brighton's plans.
Yeah, another good example of what we just spoke about there, where he is an example of being with a bigger club, a club that got a fantastic goalkeeping department, obviously signed him from Charlton, who of course they beat on New Year's Day, which must have felt good for James. But, you know, he's gone to Brighton. They have created that pathway for him in terms of the work they do internally to kind of build him the best they can build him. Obviously, his application, effort, attitude's been bang on. Then the quality loans to Crewe and now to Oxford, and who knows what next. And that's, again, where these young goalkeepers, if it's done correctly and it's manufactured in such a way that they can get the right platforms, it's amazing how quickly they can climb. The likes of James Trafford, the likes of Bazunu, the likes of Aaron Ramsdale, etc. Every goalkeeper that's playing in the Premier League now, certainly English goalkeepers, they've all followed a very similar model. And the majority have come from the bigger clubs where they've got that platform in order to go out and get the football they need.
And in League Two, Ben Hinchliffe with a big save from Andy Cook to preserve a point for Stockport in a sticky Christmas patch for them. Still top, but being heavily chased by Mansfield and Wrexham. And youth development phase lead coach Lewis Ward back in for Swindon. So his first game since January. A real shame to see Murphy Mahoney ruled out for the season. It had been a really highly productive loan spell for him, but big stoppage time saves from Ward in that much needed win over Forest Green Rovers, one of those being a penalty too, straight down the middle. Troy Deeney-esque, perhaps he took something from the manager on the sideline. But League Two goalkeeper over the festive period is Luke McGee for me. So monumental saves against Salford and Harrogate for the Tranmere keeper. Four wins on the trot to steer them well clear of danger, and a new deal until the summer of 2025 to boot.
Yeah, great news for Luke. And as you say, it's always nice when a team has a run like that and you play such a massive part in it, and it coincides with conversations about contracts, etc. So again, a big well done to him. As you mentioned, Murphy, gutted for him. Such a good loan. Had done so well. But yeah, a bit of a nasty injury that he suffered. And as you mentioned, that should see him out for the season. So it'll be interesting to see what Swindon do. The fact that Lewis Ward stepped in and done so well, no doubt he's staked his claim. Whether they'll look to strengthen the department or not, I'm guessing, again, we'll find out in the coming weeks. And I wanted to mention the Hinchliffe save. Really enjoyed this because I thought, again, the reactions, the athleticism he showed to get to his right-hand side. And this is struck well. This is going in the top corner, but I think he's got his distances bang on and set really well. And the way in which he was able to explode to his right, top save this. As again, I think this is the type of shot that does beat most goalkeepers.
Clean Sheet Club.
Okay, we are at that point in the show, and I can't help but feel that with all the games that have taken place over the last few days, that it might be a little bit of a different league table. We shall see, but yes, it is time for this. That's right, Clean Sheet Club. We start in the Premier League. Edison, he'd been waiting 2 months for this. Jose Sarr, he'd been waiting 4 months for this. Alphonse Areola, Appiama, Jason Steele, man of. Into the Championship, Anthony Patterson, not sorry. Matthias Arkic, one-off a siren. Christopher Clarkson, account opened in English football. Jack Bonham, and he can't wait for you. And the things you try to do, his net is open, but a blank is all that you can chew. Okay, we've got to talk about that one shortly. Back Clav Lagki, goalless times two. Carl Rushworth, Halifaxian, into League One. Dan Grimshaw, no glimpse for the Imps. Nathan Baxter, hat-trick. Solbrin, ditto. Max Thompson, no fog on his tyne. And into League Two, Joe Walsh, proper pigeon detective. Jake Turner, 4-6. Tom Booth, first ever pro clean sheet. Lewis Jones, back in, back clean. Christy Pym, big away win.
Excellent, Richard. See, nice and relaxed. You just breezed. You, Gabriel, breezed your way through that. Very good.
I see what you've done there. I'm just trying to figure out this Jack Bonner one, and he can't wait for you and the things you try to do. His net is open, but a blank is all that you can chew.
You with me? Come on.
I'm really not. I hope the listeners are. They either are or they switched off.
Let's have a bit. Here we go. Hang on.
Yeah. That is a regular Bonham chant, I believe.
It is, yes. It is a regular Bonham chant. So we just thought we'd put that in for a bit of fun, Richard. And you mentioned the table there where you thought there might be change at the top. There isn't. There's no change at the top, but a contender has closed the gap and we have a newbie in the top three. So with 12 in 25 games is Will Norris still leading the way in the Clean Sheet Club, and Portsmouth, of course, leading the way in League One too. Joining him at the top, but in one more game, is Alex Palmer with 12 in 26, and the newbie on 11 in 24 is Bolton's Nathan Baxter.
Oof. tell you what, it is tight at the top. There must be a few on 11 as well, I guess.
No, just the one. Just Nathan Baxter on 11, and the rest are on 10 and below.
Wow, okay. It is certainly hotting up going into the new year.
It is indeed. And just because we can, because it's January, there's only one of these, but we're still going to play the jingle.
GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way. GK's on the way. I say GK's on the way.
Yes, as things stand, just the one deal to have taken place so far in the January transfer window, or in fact, just before the January transfer window opened. Hugo Lloris has finally broken that Tottenham exile. He's been freed. He's now due to sign for LAFC on an interestingly crafted deal until the end of the season, plus the option of a further 2 years.
Yeah, that is interesting. Actually, very similar to the deal that Jonathan Bond signed when he went to the Galaxy. So they do these two-year options. They do quite like a two-year option, which of course gives the club that bit of protection. I guess Hugo Lloris will be happy with it too. It allows him to get his foot in the door in the MLS. I'm sure he'll be very, very good there and no doubt end up spending several years there. And of course, they are arguably the, I know they didn't win it last year, but certainly they are arguably the strongest club, biggest club over there, you'd say now. And they've had a lot of success in recent years. So an excellent move for him. It was nice to see that he got a good send-off at Spurs. Really interesting time there. And that on the whole, I think people agree it was a fantastic time. And we spoke about it a lot where it just felt like it shifted towards the end, which was a shame. But you kind of hope, and this often happens, that once a goalkeeper does move on, they are remembered and talked about for the many positives that they did, which I'd like to think the Spurs fans will do.
And a bit of admin to finish, Richard. We'll just quickly go through these. Louis Malden, currently on loan at Rochdale from Wolves, now has 5 assists in the league this season. So 2 more on Boxing Day in the win over Fylde, who then lost to 2-0 on New Year's Day. So funny how that can work in the National League. But 5 assists from Louis Malden. That is quite remarkable. I think it was 3 in the entirety of last season combined for Edison Alisson and Jordan Pickford.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I would say it's the equivalent of like a hole in one. You know, I never had one in my career. And I think most goalkeepers that I played with similarly never had an assist. And yet he's got 5 in half a season. It's unheard of. Massive credit to him. And actually all 5, I've watched all 5. And in fairness to him, it's not that one we talk about sometimes where you pump one forward and you might get lucky that the striker finishes it. Each one has been very different. In fact, one was a throw. He's grabbed the ball. It was a breakaway. They'd put everybody forward in the box and he's just thrown it half the length of the field. They've gone through 1-on-1 and scored. The others, some great passes in there as well. So, yeah, I almost feel like this deserves a little bit more credit than perhaps it's got to this point. But again, it is something that I'm sure will crop up time and time again. You kind of hope at some point there will be a league table of goalkeeping assists, and no doubt he will be top by a long way.
Absolutely. And someone else at the top of his game is Ali Adams, whose name I'm sure you're familiar with now, Richard. The Arbroath number 2, making his Scottish Championship debut at the age of 32. He came on 2-0 down. Arbroath were against the league leaders, Raith Rovers. But he came on, as everyone knows by now, up front. And Bosch goes and scores an absolute screamer from about 35 yards. What a goal this was.
Yeah, unbelievable strike. Unbelievable strike. The way it's just popped up, he looked, you know, he's a big guy, like most goalkeepers are. But the ball, controlled the ball well, and he's just absolutely let rip. And no chance for the other goalkeeper. It's one of those horrible ones, dipping all over the place, moving all over the place into the top of the net. Just an unbelievable strike. Yeah, what a great story this is.
Not his first goal, though. Actually, he did score a wind-assisted 50-yarder. It was a free kick playing for Tranent against Eva Keating Swifts in the East of Scotland League. That was back in 2020. So likes to find the net, does Ali Adams. But the King's New Year honours list was announced, of course. Mary Earps, who won the Sports Personality of the Year award, we should mention that too, awarded an MBE for services to football. And Peter Shilton becomes a CBE for services to football and the prevention of gambling harm. So well done, goalkeepers.
Another well done. Well done to both of them. Fantastic.
A pod of well dones. Mm. So we started on a bit of a critical low note and we've really pushed the level up, haven't we?
I think we have. Yeah, there's no well dones for Gary Neville in this episode. Maybe next one.
What we will do is maybe give a well done to the pair of us, Richard, because I'll finish on a high. We've had a lovely message in from Wayne Roberts, who says, morning, gents. Apologies to bother. Just really wanted to pop by and say how much I love the podcast and have found it so useful and inspirational towards my coaching. I'm only a level 2 coaching at step five, down here in Cornwall, but always rely on the podcast for a good listen on away days. Looking forward to another great year of listening. All the very best. So that's Wayne Roberts of Falmouth Town, who are currently in the last 32 of the FA Vars and in a playoff position in the league. So things are looking good.
No, well, thank you very much for that. Much appreciated. It does make me smile every time. Like, no doubt, after this, I know how it plays out now, but I'll have 4 or 5 messages personally, probably giving me some stick about the fact I had red wine all over me and shattered glass. It does always make me smile to know how many people listen in and how many other goalkeeping geeks there are out there.
Yes, yes, there are many, and many more to come, hopefully. So, Richard, we are in January. It's all kicking off, just 3 days in. It's likely to be a busy window, a reactive window, a chilled window. What are you foreseeing?
It will be the first two. It will be busy and reactive. I've got a feeling that this time next week, without wanting to overpromise and underdeliver, but I do think that the GKs on their way will have a good 10 plus already, I can see in the offing. That is my prediction, but we shall see.
Very, very gritty. Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the Sticks, keepers.
Wait.